Okay, this will be the first shiur of Hilchos Muktzah, which is what we'll do for Kerev Zman, aside from time that we start, that we stop for Hilchos Chanukah, Hilchos Purim, and the like. Basically, we'll be doing Hilchos Muktzah. Also, as an opener on the closer, so I would like to take a look at the Shar Beis in the Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, which talks about tefillah. Nefesh HaChaim, for those of you who are not, not familiar with the Sefer, Nefesh HaChaim is a Sefer written by Rav Chaim from Volozhiner, who instituted what we call the modern yeshiva movement, and the Talmud Muvik of the Vilna Gaon. He wrote a Sefer Nefesh HaChaim, some say as a response to the Tanya, but basically gives us an approach to Yiddishkeit, I would say on a Kabbalistic level, but it gives us an appreciation of Limud HaTorah, of Tefillah, and the things going on in the world that we wouldn't have otherwise. So we're not going to go into his sources and everything that he's coming from, but at least to have the ideas and the appreciation. Shar Aleph, I'll just give you a bit of the background. In Shar Aleph, he basically explains to you how the world works. Sefer's called Nefesh HaChaim. His name was Chaim, so it's the soul of Chaim. Nefesh HaChaim is also the soul of life, and it's based on the fact that Kodesh Baruch Hu created the human being, B'Tselem Elokim. We are created in the image of the Almighty, whatever that means. He explains that Al Pi the Meir Nevuchim, the Rambam, what it means is that just like, this is again, it's a gross oversimplification, it takes a long time to get to this, just like a person has a nefesh, and that nefesh takes his body and makes his body alive, the nefesh achayim, the source of all life, the source of the life of the universe, is the human being, or more specifically, the Jewish human being. When we do an action, if it's a mitzvah, so then we bring kedusha, we bring energy to the world. When we do an avera chas v'shalom, so then we bring tuma, and the energy of the world wanes. If there are more mitzvahs, it's a better world. And if there are more averas, then the world becomes weaker and more shvach and more ugly, a worse place to be. And the way that this happens is that when I do something, so my action goes all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod, if you can relate to this. If you can't, it's just an allegory, right? But this is how it works. It goes all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod, and from the Kisei HaKavod, so then the Shefa comes down lower and lower and lower, and all the different dimensions and worlds that there are until it gets to our world. And most of all, who's mushpa the most by my action is me, because I did it. So when all of the channels of good, or chas v'shalom, the opposite, come down from my action, so I'm affected as well. I'm affected more directly, not because it's inside of me necessarily, but because of the fact that I created that positive energy. That positive energy comes down on the entire world, and specifically on me, because I was the one that brought it about. That Bekitzer Nimrutz is what we talk about in Shar Aleph. It's the way that the world works. Shar Beis talks about a major part of our avoda, which is called avoda itself, which is tefillah. Second parsha of Kriyas Shema, we read the pasuk, "La'avo es Hashem alekechem ula'avdei b'chol levavchem uvechol nafshechem." Chazal darshan in Tainis, that what does it mean, la'avdai, b'chol vavchem uv'chol nafshechem? Zok the Gemara and the Sifri, eza hi avoida shebelev, what's avoida shebelev? Zu tefillah. Tefillah is called avoida shebelev. Frek Rav Chaim, I understand that tefillah is in the lev, right? Makes sense. There are two bechinas of tefillah. You guys probably will hear it from the Mashgiach when he starts talking about tefillah, which will probably be this week, next week. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik talks about it in Sefer. He really has a very similar breakup over here, that there are two bechinas in tefillah. One is being mechaven positively to what I'm saying, pirush amilas, and the other is clearing my entire mind and sort of just being oblivious to the fact that I'm in olam hazeh and just seeing myself as being in front of the kisei hakavod. That's taras amachshava. And that's what it means, b'chol avavcha, positive intent and clearing your mind. Just there's nothing going on. You're just in front of the kisei hakavod.
Taras machshava, that's the two separate things. Taras machshava, the two.
No, taras machshava is one thing. Purity of thought. I'm not thinking about yesterday's baseball game. I'm not thinking about my business deal that I'm going to make tomorrow. There's just me and you, Rabbeinu Shalom, and that's it. Right? That's it. Then the second kavana or the first kavana he really talks about is what am I saying? Das, right? You give me my brains. I'm thinking those words. It's both of them. It's where I am, the consciousness of where I am, and what I'm saying, the conversation. So we understand what he means, b'chol avavchem. But what does it mean, b'chol nafshechem? First parsha of Kriya Shema, v'ahavta seshem alakecha, b'chol avavcha, b'chol nafshecha, you love with all your heart. B'chol nafshecha, what does that mean? Afil netal nafshecha. You have to let yourself be killed for Avas Hashem. What does it mean that you serve Hashem, that you daven b'chol nafshechem? That's the kasher of Chaim Volozhiner. And then he goes into the suspended animation. And he says, in order to answer this, we have to understand what a bracha is, what the word baruch means. That's Perek Beis. But just at the end of Perek Aleph, I just want to leave you hanging with our own question, and we'll get back to the end of the shir. It's very interesting. Avodah shebelev is tefillah. But you ever think about the why tefillah is called avodah? I understand why putting on tefillin maybe is avodah. I understand why shaking my lulav is avodah. I'm doing work. But what's the work in tefillah? Adarabah, it's bakasha. I'm asking. Maybe you could say that shvach is avodah. But all parts of tefillah are considered to be avodah. Why is avodah? Why is it called avodah in the first place? So maybe he'll get to an answer. Maybe there'll be a better answer than this. But at the end, I'd like to share with you a thought that I had on the matter. Right. Bezer Hashem will continue with Perek Beis next time. But the question is, just to think about it. Tefillah is avodah. Avodah should believe. Believe, yeah. But what's the avodah? What's the work? Same question.
Yeah.
Same question. I think it'll be the same answer. So let's think about that for a while. While we're doing that, so turn our minds to the other track and let's talk about Muksa. Simen Shinches. Simen Shinches is the first simen in Shulchan Aruch which talks about Hilchas Muksa. Every little Jewish kid knows what Muksa is, or at least thinks that they do. You're not allowed to play with that. Why? Because it's muksa. You're not allowed to turn on the light because it's muksa. You're not, everything's muksa. Muksa, 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 Shabbos is muksa, muksa is Shabbos. What does muksa mean? Hopefully by the end of winter's month, so we'll be a little older and wiser, we'll understand at least somewhat what muksa is. But muksa really, the brunt of it, and Bez Hashem, at least the part in Hilchas Shabbos, we should be able to finish by the end of this month. You've got Simen Shinches, and then, what's it called? Going up to Shin Yud Beis, talks about Muksa and Shabbos. Then we also have two other Simanim. You have one in Hilchas Yantif, and you have one in Hilchas Sukkah. In Hilchas Sukkah, we talk about Muksa Machmas Mitzvah. Everybody knows, hopefully, the Sukkah decorations, right? So they're Muksa, because Muksa limits Vasa. It's set aside for its Mitzvah. You have another din. You have another din that comes up in Maseches Beah, other places, Hilchas Yantif, called Neilad, something which is a brand new entity. It's also called Muksa. So we're going to have to understand all of these terms. We're going to have to understand the different types of Muksa. Since I assumed that yesterday, I don't even know how many people got to learn Bechlal Halacha Seder yesterday, but certainly not to get into the thick of things and the Mishnah Berurah himself. It was a long introduction as to what Hilchas Muksa is. So for today, we'll have a shortish shiur about just the hakdama to Hilchas Muksa, what it's all about, where it comes from, is it deraisa, derabanan, what's the idea of Muksa, and then we'll talk about the different types of Muksa, bekitzer nimrats. We're going to have to keep on referring back to it. And then Be'ezus Hashem next time, so next week we'll start with the real dinim of Muksa, Muksa Machmas Chisaron Kis, Muksa Machmas Gufay, the different types of Muksa that the Shulchan Aruch talks about. Okay, the beginning when we talk about any halacha is you have to ask yourself the source. And the source is either going to be from the Rabbeinu Shalom himself, which is either going to be halacha l'meishim yisinai, if it's not beferish in the Torah, or the din d'oraisa, we find it somewhere in the Torah, right? Or, if it didn't come from the Rabbeinu Shalom himself, we link it back to him because of Lo Sasu, but it's a din d'rabbanan, and Chazal invented it. So what is Muksa? Is Muksa d'oraisa, or is Muksa a d'rabbanan? Very confusing question. L'maisa, before we even get to that, really, another more basic question. What's Muksa? What does the term mean? So Muksa comes from the Russian Kotze, or Ktse, B'Ktse HaMachane. B'Ktse HaMachane, two groups of people. The greatest, the Tzadikim of B'Ktse HaMachane, when an Eish comes, it starts off, a lot of times it starts with the Tzadikim Tchila, when Peronius comes. Or the Ktse HaMachane, or the Shevet Dan, the bad guys. But the Kotze is the margin. Muksa means stuff which is marginalized. It's put on the side. The Hainu, it has nothing to do with us for Shabbos. Now, how does that happen? So, Pashtus is just Chazal or Metakein, or the Torah said that it's Muksa. There's a sugya that we'll see. There's a machlekes between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon lesle Muksa. The Gemara says it all over the place. What does it mean? Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold a Xeris Muksa, he doesn't hold a Din of Muksa Chas HaShalom. There's a certain type of Muksa, generally speaking, when something is called Dachu B'Yadayim, Gregoris Vitzmukim. I take stuff and I put it on my roof, and I leave it there, and I Mesiach Das from it. So Rabbi Shimon says that's not called Muksa. Because in reality, it's good stuff. I could use it as food. But I made a conscious decision to like, out. Lesley Muksa. Rabbi Yehuda says it's still called Muksa. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon Lesley Muksa. We're going to have to see when that applies, how it applies. But we're talking about Muksa that everybody agrees with. Forget about the Machlekes, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yehuda. What is it? Is it Deraisa or Derabanan? First bit of evidence over here, you have a Gemara in Beis. The Gemara in Be'ah is talking about the egg that was born on Shabbos. And the Gemara, the whole thing over here on the sheet. So, what's it called? We're talking about what's the issue using the egg. Four lines from the bottom. It says, Bishlema l'Rabba da'amar mishum hachana. Rabba says that the issue of the egg is a special din of hachana, which we won't go into. Have a sveka deraisa. So it's Asur, which the Gemara says, Sveka Asura. Rabba says, why? Because it's Suffolk Deraisa. Because Sveka Deraisa L'chumra. Elo L'Rabbi Yosef, or Rabbi Yitzchak, the Amri Mishum Gzera. They say that it's Mishum Gzera, and we paskin like Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Yitzchak. Sveka Derabanan, he becalls Sveka Derabanan L'kula, and every Suffolk Derabanan we go L'kula. Later on, we'll see Gemaras in Shabbos in different places. It's clear that it was a Derabanan. Atu Haitzah, Atu different things. But Gemara in Beya, at least the way that we pass and comes out as a Durabonin. There's another Gemara, the Gemara in Psachim. The Gemara in Psachim says the opposite. Ask the Gemara, Muksa Daraisa he? Is Muksa Daraisa? Amalei in. Gemara says, yes. Tchsev, Ahayav, Ayyam, Ashishi, Vechinu, Es Asher Yaviyu. It says by the mun that in order to eat the mun, they have to prepare the mun first. It has to be mukhan. But if the mun was just out there, it wasn't prepared, then it's muksa. Mashmash muksa d'oraisa. So that pasuk is mashma, the muksa is a d'oraisa. So what is it? D'oraisa d'rabbanan. two Gemaras say two different things, we have a dilemma. What's the answer? Machlokes Rishonim. Rashi and the Shiltis both say that there's two types of muksa. It's in Pesachim, the Shiltis and the Shiltis, Zerav HaChayigayin, and it's Siv talks about it over there, wrote a sefer on the Shiltis. And they say there's two types of muksa. There is an isser of eating muksa, which is like by the man, or hishtamshus b'muksa, using the muksa, and that's an isser deraisa. The Rabbanan came along and said that not only is using the muksa asr, but tiltul muksa, just moving the muksa, is also asr. So if I take this and I move it from here to there, or even if I don't do that, right, in order to be over on Hotzah on Shabbos, I need to be Iker, I need to pick it up, move it, put it back down. Hanacha. Akira, Havara, Hanacha. Muksa not like that. Muksa, if I just spin it, go like that, even if the end of it didn't move at all, I'm over on Muksa. I take a hair and I move it from side to side, it's total Muksa. So that's a Durabanan. That's a Rashi and the Shiltis say. What?
Rashi and who?
The Shiltis. Shiltis Durabachai Gain. Yeah. The Tekufa Zaga'inim was before the Rishainim. The Rabbeinu Achai Gain, Rab Hai Gain, Rab Sadia Gain, all during that Tekufa. So the Shiltis, he's of the same opinion as Rashi. Rashi, the same opinion of the Shiltis, so the Shiltis lived first. And they say there's both. Rav Rishonim argue, and Rav Rishonim said that it's a Drabbanan. And they say that even though there is this Pasuk of Ve'echinu V'Sasher Yaviyu, and the Gemara says that it's a Deraisa in Pesachim, we don't Paskin like that. And we Paskin the Ve'echinu V'Sasher Yaviyu is just used in, as an Asmachta, and Be'etzim, it's not a Deraisa. So, there are two Shitas on that. You know, it's Muksa Deraisa Drabbanan. So there's one shita that says it depends what type, and Rav Rishonim say that we're dealing with Shriya Durabana. That is issue number one. Issue number two, again, on the tzad that it's Durabanan, what's the history of Muksa? When did the Rabbanan come and create this halacha? It wasn't the man, right? Because the man wasn't the Rabbanan. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzav in the man. It's just an asmachta that you see from the man that unless something was muchan, that has nothing to do with Yon Shabbos. And the Rabbanan came and piggybacked off of that and made this takana of muksa. But when did they make the takana? And what was the takana all about? So over here again, you have conflicting reports. First of all, there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis. Very interesting Gemara over there, talking about David HaMelech. Talking about David HaMelech, that David HaMelech, slept Kishenas Asus. People familiar with the term Shita Nishmin, right? 60 breaths or whatever. It's about a half an hour. Alpi Alach is about a half an hour, right? But David HaMelech never slept more than that in one stretch. And David HaMelech was learning all the time, and the story over there in Shabbos is about how David HaMelech, the Malach HaMavis had to get him. He's supposed to only live 70 years from Adam Marishan, and he couldn't get him because David HaMelech is always learning, always thinking and learning, and then he rustled the trees and he fell down the stairs, and fine, David HaMelech leaves Olam Hazeh at the end of 70 years, and now he's laying there, it was Shabbos, and he's in the sun. And I don't know what to do, because it's a bizayin, because he's laying there in the sun, and he's going to start decomposing soon. So Shlomo HaMelech asked the Shaila. Shalach Shlomo lebei Midrasha. Abba mei sumutal b'chama. My father's dead, and he's sitting there in the sun. Not too good. V'klovim shal beis abba re'evim. Even worse. The dogs in my father's house are hungry. Ma esse. So what should I do? Shochule, the Beis Din says, Chatoich Nevela, first of all, cut up some dead meat, Vahanoch Lefneach Klovim, and give it to the hungry dogs. So now you've isolated the dogs, you get rid of the dogs, no problem with the dogs anymore. V'avich, but what about your father? Hanocho of Kikar Aitinaik, what you should do is put a loaf of bread or a child on top of him, V'taltolei. And we'll see how this works, but you could be metaltel David HaMelech, you can take him out of the sun by using him as a stretcher, so to speak, for this kicker or Tino. But otherwise, you can't move David HaMelech. So what do you see? That at the time of David HaMelech, there was already an Isser of Muksa. Agav, what type of Muksa was David HaMelech? A dead person is called Muksa Machmas Gufay. We'll see, that's going to be important.
Even though it was before Banish Mashiach, after Banish Mashiach. And he became Muksa on Shabbos.
Yeah, that doesn't matter. Okay. The din of Migurus Katsoi is not, what's it called? The din of Migurus Katsoi just means once it's Muksa at Bein HaShemashis, it remains Muksa, Bein HaShemashis, even if the Sibus of Muksa is gone. All right. Moving on, there's another Gemara, though. The other Gemara, Kuvchav Gimel Amabez, tells you what was the beginning of the Takanas Muksa, and that's going to get us into a great quandary. Why? Because the Gemara over there tells you that who was the man who invented Muksa? Nehemiah. When did Nehemiah live? Ezra and Nehemiah, they came back, they built Bayis Sheni way after David HaMelech, right? So this is going to be a major problem. But let's see the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. Barishayna ayu aymrim shleisha kelim nitalim b'shabbos. In the beginning, so the takana of Muksa was, everything is Muksa, you can only move three kelim. Imagine, right? Miktsaya shel devela, some kind of knife that they would cut up their figs. Vizua malistrin shel kedera, and some type of thing that they got the froth off of a pot. Vesakin ketana shel gabi ha-shulchan, and a table knife. The bare basics. Hitiru v'chazu hitiru. Then Chazal became more and more lenient. Chazu v'hitiru ad she'amru kol ha-kelim nitalim b'shabbos, everything is mutter. Chutz min meser ha-gadol v'yesed shel machresha, except for a big saw and the peg that you use for plowing. Mai hitiru v'chazu v'hitiru v'chazu v'hitiru. The Gemara goes through as to how it happened. The Gemara's end tells you when did they institute the din of Muksa? Amr Chanina b'meid Nechemya ben Hachalia nishnis mishnazu. That it was the day, in the days of Nechemya ben Hachalia, that this brisa was learned. Chsev b'yomim ha'emar ra'isi b'yehuda d'rochim gitos b'shabbos, that people would thresh on Shabbos, they would press on Shabbos, and they would bring in their bundles on Shabbos, so therefore he saw that there's a zilzal in Shabbos, so you got to do something about it. So Gemara in Shabbos says, when were they attacking Muksa? The time of Nehemiah. So what do you deal with? What do you do with that? Is it at the time of David HaMelech or the time of Nehemiah?
Everything was
Aser? No. No. In the beginning, when Nehemiah was metakin it, he said everything is usher except for three kelim. Then chazvitiru, bizman hazeh, everything is mutter except for these three kelim.
Different types.
What?
Different muksas.
Yeah. There's another question over here also. The Aruch HaShulchan asked the question. Many asked the question. Is that there's a halacha in Takanas Chazal? Then in Beis Din Mevatel, Dibri Beis Din Shal Chaveray, Elam King Gom, Gadoli Menu, Bechach Muv Minyan. Now, to believe that, that later on, with the Yeridus Adaris and everything, that they were big enough to come along and start mattering all the things that Nehemiah made Usher, that's very, very hard to believe. So that's a question that needs to be asked over here also. The one who answers that question, although we'll see there may be a broader approach to all of this, is Taisus in Bava Kama. Taisus says that when Nehemiah made the Takana, he made it al menas that they could revoke what he's saying. Dahainu, his real Takana was he wanted people to keep Shabbos properly. But if they don't have to aser all of the kelim, so then zolzain, matter whatever I made aser. So he basically made a revocable Takana. That's the way that a Takana with interchangeable parts. He didn't say that it's ironclad, it's always going to have to be that way. But as we'll soon see, there may be another approach. So this is something also to bear in mind, that we seem to have two takanas or two times. There's a takana muksa. You have at the time of David HaMelech, you have at the time of Nehemiah. And it's not so clear what's going on over here. Another issue is what was the reason for the takana muksa itself? So the Gemara over here says that he saw that people were being mezalzel on Shabbos, people were working on Shabbos. But there's another Gemara. The Gemara says it's on Kufkov Dalad. I don't think that I have it on the page. The Ravid quotes it verbatim. The Ravid says that the reason that they made the takana of muksa was why? Was because of the fact that they saw that people were carrying. Which seems to come from the Gemara, that people were carrying their bundles and everything like that. That's what the Ravid says. That's a Gemara Mefureshes. You take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam gives us a bunch of other reasons. Yeah, the Rambam carrying, on the page. What?
Carrying is a different reason than the working?
It could be that that's what the working means. The people were moving their bundles and they were carrying. But there's a Gemara Mefureshes, Kuf Chav Dalet, that says, Atu tiltot tzarech haitzahi, and that's the way that it comes out. The reason that we were metakin tiltu muksa is because we didn't want people to carry. Carrying is a deraisa, therefore the drabbanan of muksa came so that people shouldn't carry.
But they were working, and they were harvesting.
What?
Weren't they harvesting or something? They were getting bundles.
Yeah, that's what it says. Mevim haremais. They were bringing haremais in. So if you say that bringing Aremais in means that they were carrying them so that they could fit nicely with the other Gemara. Yeah. Okay. Take a look at the Rambam. The Rambam says three other reasons. Asru Chachamim Lutaltol mixes Dvarim B'Shabbos. The Chachamim Asid to move certain things on Shabbos. Kederach Shuwais B'Chol. Umifnei Manogu B'Isur Zeh. Why did they make this Isur? Amru, ma em hisiru neviim, betzivu shlo yeh hiluchach b'Shabbos, ki luchach b'chol, leisichas b'Shabbos, kesichach b'chol. You're not allowed to walk on Shabbos like you do during the week. You're not allowed to talk on Shabbos like you do during the week. Shneimar v'daber davar, kal v'chomer shlo yeh tiltul b'Shabbos, ketiltul b'chol. So the things you're allowed to move on Shabbos can't be like the things you move during the week. Person will start moving his things around. Person's bored. He'll be sitting in his house. He's looking for something to do. And he'll find that he didn't rest. Ubatal atam shenemar b'tera l'man yanuach. So reason number one is that we want people to be preoccupied with resting. So therefore we asked moving things around. That's Sibas HaTakana number one. Sibas HaTakana number two, V'oid, Halacha Yud Gimel. K'shiyavaker, V'yatatel Kalim, Shemalachtem L'Isser. When you're going to take Kalim, which we use for Isurim, Efshar Shiyasasek Behemat. Maybe you're going to come to use them a little bit. The Yaveludei Melacha. So that's reason number two. So number one is Laman Yanuach. Number two is you're going to come to do Isurim. V'oid, Mifnei Shemitza Sa'am Enam Bale Umnis. You have people who don't have jobs. Ela B'Telem Kol Yimeim. They sit around, whatever, playing backgammon, just shooting the breeze. You're going to find that it's not nicker that it's Shabbos. There's a third reason. Not that we're afraid, Laman Yanuach, but it has to be nicker that it's Shabbos today. Lefikach shvisa midvar melu hi shvisa shavu kol adam. So therefore they asked it to everybody. Zok the Ravid says, the Gemara says, tiltul tzarech haitzahi. So the Ravid adds a fourth reason. But you see the Mishnah Brura brings down all four reasons. It seems like he says that the Ravid is just adding another reason. Okay. Magid Mishnah comes and he asks on the Rambam, why didn't the Rambam bring the Ravid's reason? So basically, he has two terutzim. Teretz number one is he says that Be'etzim the Rambam agrees with the Ravid's reason. He's just bringing his own reasons that are not stated explicitly in the Gemara. Reason number two, and shot number two in the Magen Mishnah, which is really the first Mahalach, is that he says that the Ravid, and the Rambam will agree to this, is that the initial takana was made because of Otsa, because we're afraid that people are going to carry. But as times got better, as we see in the Gemara, that we became more and more lenient on the takana, so we stopped being worried that people are going to carry, and therefore the Rambam says all that was left were these three reasons. Number one, l'man yinuach. Number two is the fact that you need shvisa nikeres. Number three, maybe people will do isurim with klishim l'achlis. So that's what you have in terms of the reasons of the takana. And the Magid Mishnah explains, how we're supposed to put the Rambam and the Ravid together. Either A, by saying the Rambam holds that the Ravid's reason also, or nowadays all the reasons are really Rambam held that the Ravid's reason is null and void. Yet we still keep the takana of muksa because of the three other reasons. Okay. Putting all this together, though, what we're left with is a hodgepodge, right? We have this din, which according to some, Teraisa, and partially Durabanan. That's a Shiltas Narashi. You have Rebbe Rishon who say that it's Durabanan. When was this Durabanan instituted? Tavir HaMelech or Nechemia. Yeah? And we have this strange idea that you have this takana which had removable pieces. As all this fit together, what was really going on over here? So there are two approaches. More than two approaches. Two approaches we'll discuss. There is an approach of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. Shulchan Aruch HaRav is the same person as the Baal Tanya. And the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, and really the Goyin, goes along with this Mahalach also. He says that there are two different dinim and muksa. One din of muksa is the halacha of muksa, and that applies to things which have no use for practical purposes whatsoever. Muksa machmas gufay, basically, a dead body. And that was around at the time of David HaMelech. Then there was a second shlav of muksa called takanas kalim. Takanas kalim was things which do have a use, but for different reasons they're going to be ushered to move anyway. Klishim l'achter l'isser, we'll talk about soon, klishim l'achter l'heter. All of these things became usher at a later time, and that was the din of takanas kalim. So according to the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, there are two types of muksa, or really two takanas. There's a takana of muksa, which is muksa machmas gufay, and then there was the isser of kalim, that they ushered kalim, making certain kalim usher betiltel also. That's the shita of the Goyin and the shita of the Shulchan Aruch HaRav. And we'll have to see what's going to be the nafkamina between this shita and the other shita. The second shita is that no, it's all one big fat takana. How did it evolve? And you see that it wasn't David HaMelech and the whole business and everything like that. So the Aruch HaShulchan says a very, very interesting idea. And with that, he also brings in the Ve'echinu Es Asher Yaviu, and he also answers up this whole idea. How could it be that Chazal made this interchangeable takana that you can take away halachas and add halachas and things like that? The Aruch HaShulchan says that muksa is a very interesting halacha. Even though it's a derabanan, however, it has certain aspects which it's more chamer than other derabanans. And he says the reason for that is because there's a pasuk in the Torah that says tishbais. We have a tzivui that we have to make sure that Shabbos is a day of rest. How do you achieve tishbais? So that was given over to the Chachamim to decide in every generation what we need to do in order to make sure that Shabbos is Shabbos day. And that's the makor, and that's the yisayid v'sheresh of what muksa is all about. Because of that, so we have this idea already at the times of the Torah Ve'echinu Es Asher Yaviu, and it makes sense that at the time of David HaMelech, there were certain things which were already asur al muksa. What we mean that there was a takana at the time of Nechemia came along and said, listen, the door became so shvach now because of all the things that people are doing in order to achieve tishbais, so for the going period of time, so we're going to asur everything except the three kalim. However, naturally, knowing that this is not a standard Takanas Chazal, it's in order to achieve Tishbais, so he said, okay, fine, it's, you know, for a limited time only until you don't need it anymore. And therefore, with the Aliyas Adaris, Akshar Dara, people made Shabbos more Shabbos dik, and therefore we became more lenient on the Takana as things went along.
When did we start making, changing it?
What?
When did we start changing it? Or did we?
So, yeah, that's what's it called? Do we have a Beis Din now that's capable of making, from the time of the Chasimus of Talmud, we don't have the power to make an ironclad thing which is binding for all of Klal Yisrael. That's the Seder. Okay. That basically is, in a nutshell, that's the backdrop. So what does muksa mean? It means something that's on the side. Is it deraisa, derabbanan, yamachlekes rishonim, shiltas rashi, you have most rishonim say it's a derabbanan. When was it instituted? According to Shulchan Aruch Harav, there was two shlavim. There was one time, David HaMelech before, that was muksa machmas gufay, afterwards the kanas kelo. The gain holds that way also. Most achrayim go with the mahalech, that's all one takana. Aruch HaShulchan ties the whole thing together under this umbrella halacha of Tishbais, and therefore he answers all the various problems that a lot of people talk about. Okay, before we go back, so let's just talk about the different types of muksa, which the Mishnah Brura goes into somewhat length just to categorize the different types of muksa. I'm going to go in a different type of order than he goes, just because systematically, it just, at least in my head, it makes more sense. The first type of muksa, we'll talk about six, really a seven, but the first type of muksa that we have is the most basic type of muksa. We say most basic type of muksa is muksa machmas gufay. What's muksa machmas gufay? It means that it's marginalized just because of what it is. The hainu, it's pointless. People don't use it. A mace. People don't use a mace. Right? Generally speaking, it's Aime Lekvura, that's it. No, you're not talking about, you know, where they're taking organs and things like that. But what's it called? Normal situation, so a mace is muksa, a rock is muksa, dirt is muksa. I can have dirt and I can be making it, right? But generally speaking, Eitzim Vavonim, all these things are just, that is muksa machmas gufay. It has no tachlis. The halacha of such muksa is, what are you allowed to do with it? Nada, nothing. You can't even move it for any use. Next type of muksa, which is an artificial, I would say, muksa machmas gufay, is what we call muksa machmas chisarin kiss. Now, people make a big mistake over here. It will become clear as we go to the halachas. Muksa machmas chisarin kiss does not mean that it's expensive. So, for instance, you could have a sheikhet's knife, which the market value is like very low. But since it's a specialized item that is very important to me, and I don't want to lose it, and therefore I'm not going to use it for anything else. I'm not going to use my sheikhet's knife to cut meat with, whatever, as a butcher's knife or a mail's knife. He's not going to use it to chisel wood or something like that. So all these things, muksa machmas chisar and kiss. A piece of paper might be muksa machmas chisar and kiss. A daf, an empty daf. Whether it is today, that's a discussion amongst Paiskim, but certainly a person in a certain point in history, an empty piece of paper, muksa machmas chisar and kiss. Because it's worth money, it's worth something, and you're not going to do anything else with it. You're not going to use it as, whatever, you're not going to use it for a side. So therefore, ostensibly over here, it's useless because you're not going to use it for its purpose on Shabbos, and therefore you're not going to use it for anything. Therefore, what can you do with it? Can you move it at all? No, you can't move it at all. So those are the two types of muksa which are classically usur for everything. Then we get into the things which are usable and usable for different things. There's what we call klishim alachtei la'isur. Klisha malachta la'isr is, what's it called? Is a kli which is used for something generally which is usr. So the classic case of I have a hammer. What I use a hammer for? Knocking nails. That's an isr of bayna. But I could also use a hammer to crack nuts. That's mutter on Shabbos. So can I move my hammer on Shabbos? Answer, it depends. There are various categories. If you're going to use the hammer to crack a nut, that's called letzerech gufay. You want to use the hammer? Fine. Letzerech mekaymai, I don't want to use the hammer, but I need its place. It's in the middle of the table. It doesn't look nice. Or I have a fan, and I want to move the fan to blow on me, not to blow over there. Right? That's also letzerech mekaymai. I have an alarm clock, and it's banging in my head, and I want to move it out of the room. That's also letzerech mekaymai. Right? And pick up your alarm clock and move it to somebody else. What?
Why is that mukzah?
What?
Why is the alarm clock muksa?
Okay, that we'll get to. But assuming that it's muksa, right? But that will be a case of letzerech mekaymai. All of the letzerech gufa, letzerech mekaymai, fine, no problem. The third category is what we call mechama letzel. I don't want to move the hammer because I want to use it. I don't want to move it because I want the place or I need it to be in there. I want to move the hammer so it shouldn't get stolen. Or because it's going to get ruined where it is. That's a problem. That's also. And certainly, shalot tzarech klal, that you're not allowed to move it. Okay, so that's the third category. Fourth category. Fourth category, really, the Mishnah Berurah mushes them together. Kli shemalachta leheter. Kli shemalachta leheter, you're allowed to move for itself. You're allowed to move with tzarech mekaymai. You're allowed to move it even to protect it. What are you not allowed to move a kli shemalachta leheter for? Nothing. Let's say I have a chair, right? See, nowadays it's a problem because people are very into fidgeting today, right? So everybody's ADD, you know, even people who aren't ADD are ADD. So we're all ADD today. I became ADD today also. It's just like, it's a machla, Makas Medina. Everybody, you know, so people fidget. So it used to be, you know, you tell somebody that, you know, you can't just take a klisha malachta leheter, take this table or whatever, and just like go like this with it on Shabbos. Why? Because what are you doing? You're an idiot. You know, you're just taking the table and just... Nowadays, you could get a psak halacha most probably, because what do you mean? You know, it's like, whatever. The guy's, you know, do you know what that guy's mother said to him yesterday? You know, he's nervous, you know? So it's like, he's got to get out his, you know, his angst, and it's true. I think it's a legitimate psak halacha today, because that's the way that we all function. So you can't say that it's pointless anymore. It goes back further. Rosh Lema Zalman already talks about the issue. If a person is moving something nervously, is that called shalom etzer? Klal. But assuming that there is such a thing today, right, which you can make a good case that there isn't, yeah, Shaloi Letzerech Klal, you can't move anything, right? I always need the guy, I still remember the first time that I was saying Shir, and I saw a guy, like, with his pencil flipping it up and down, and I, like, started, like, am I being extraordinarily boring today or something like that? Like, is it me or whatever? And then I realized, like, whatever it is. After a while, you know, whatever. It's just that's the something. It's the water or something. I don't know. In any case, that's what it is. So that's the wazel. That's the fourth category of muksa. Along with that, we talk about something which I can call it a category of muksa. It's called a basis ledavar aser. Let's say I have a platter. A platter is fine. Kli shemalachta leheter. But if I'm using the platter specifically or primarily to support something which is usher, let's say my candlesticks, and it's there, even it's there for Bein HaShemashes, then that platter, even if the candlesticks were knocked off, I'm not allowed to move the platter for the rest of Shabbos. It's called a Basis L'davar HaAser. Okay, so we're up to how many? There's four, and I just gave you another time when Kli Shemalachta Leheter is going to be Usser altogether because it was a Basis L'davar HaAser. Then you have two more, which are not... What? The Basis takes on the din of the muksa that was on it. Got it? So if the candlesticks are muksa machmas chisar and kiss, so then the drawer or the platter is going to take on the din of muksa machmas chisar and kiss. If you have a drawer, and in the drawer you have your car keys, which would be muksa, but you also have lots of chocolate bars and other things that you could use on Shabbos, then the drawer is not going to be a basis ledavar aser. It has to be primarily, specifically or primarily, for the aser thing. Okay. Then we have the two other types of muksa,
so
which I says on chazon lemoy. What?
Like a candlestick tray.
Yeah.
You put something on it, and then now it's able to remove. What does it have to do to override the
Okay, system? We'll talk about it when we get to buses. What are going to be all the rules? We have a whole month to discuss all the, you know, all the particulars. All right. The other two is you have something called nolad. Something came into being on Shabbos. It wasn't there, existed new things, so that's also a form of muksa that may have different rules. And then we'll also have the din of huksel mitzvasa, something which, you know, you have an apple which is used as a decoration for your sukkah. And it's a delicious apple, and I want to eat it right now, but if it's being used as a decoration for the sukkah, so it's also huksel and mitzvasa, and therefore you can't get away with using it. So that, all told, is we have our 6 categories of muksa. Again, they are muksa machmas gufei, machmas chisar and kis, klishim lachtala iser, klishim lachtala heter, and sometimes busis takes it out of it, dinam shlachtala heter, and then you have muksa machmas mitzvasa, and you have the din of Neilad. Be'ezus Hashem will be marchiv on this the rest of the Zman. Getting back to Nevezhachayim. Okay, you had time to think about this now. See, subliminally, you know, whatever it is. All through Hilchus Muksa, say everybody should now have the answer. What's the answer? Why is tefillah called Avodah? And anybody who was Maver Sedra last week has a hint. When did the trees start to grow? After Adam came into being, and what did Adam have to do? He had to daven. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu programmed into creation that absolutely nothing in this world gets done without us asking for it. And if we don't ask for it, and it happens anyway, we got to pay the bill. But the way that the world works, it works on 2 levels. There are laws of nature, and you always have to have your feet firmly planted on the ground, and everything that you do has to be something that should work al pi derech hateva, and try your best, but realize that in order to take it that last step, so you need siyata d'shmaya. In order to take that last step, you need siyata d'shmaya. Where does that come from? That comes from tefillah. You learn a sugya, you learn hilchos muksa, you learn a rashi, you learn a taisvis. So you have to go through it in a rudimentary way. You have to tax yourself, and you have to think about it. But ultimately, whether you get pshat in it, whether you're able to understand the emek of what it's talking about, so that's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Chazal tell us, that anybody who wants to be machkim, anybody who wants to understand Torah, what do you have to do? You have to be marvah b'yeshiva, that's true. But also, you have to be mispalel, misha chachma shalai, the 2 parts of it. That's why it's Aveda. Because through our Aveda, through our work, that's what keeps the world going around. That's what keeps the world going around. Be'ez Hashem next time, so we'll continue with Hilchus Muksa and Nefesh HaChaim. Anybody wants, I have some... let me turn off the tape recorders now.